A standoff looms over the federal government's controversial ban on taxpayer-funded investments in wind and small-scale solar projects. The Clean Energy Finance Corporation, we now know, has sought legal advice after it was instructed by ministers to focus on funding, quote, new and emerging technologies. Stephen Kime, QC, has previously provided legal opinion to the Australian Conservation Foundation on earlier efforts by the federal government to stop the CEFC from making loans altogether. Stephen Kime, welcome to Breakfast.
Good morning, Fran. Thank you.
The Environment Minister, Greg Hunt, told this program yesterday that the mandated purpose of the Clean Energy Finance Corporation is to, quote, focus on emerging and innovative technologies. But is that spelled out in the Act of Parliament which set up the CEFC?
Fran, I suppose the first point to make is that this is a different situation to what I was asked to advise upon in,
yes.
In 2013, where At least at this stage, the government seems to have read the Act, and they do have a power to give an investment mandate. Now, the particular way in which the Act describes the purpose of the investment function of the corporation, as it's called, is to invest in businesses or projects for the development or commercialisation or in relation to the use of clean energy technologies. Now, it seems to me that
so it doesn't say emerging and innovative technologies.
It doesn't say emerging and innovative technologies, and one would think that when you talk about development, you're down at the innovative end. When you talk about commercialization, you're taking a new energy and putting it into use. But when you talk about in relation to the use of, that seems to me that that can include what the government calls mature technologies as well. So it seems to me that the emphasis that the government has is not something that's spelled out in the Act. Now, the government does have the power, the relevant ministers do have the power to give a direction, but they do have to tread a fairly thin line, because they can't do anything or give a direction that's inconsistent with the Act, including the purpose of the Act. And of course, the purpose of the Act is spelled out, is to get as much investment in clean energy technologies as you can, and that includes renewable technologies, and renewable technologies obviously includes wind.
So Stephen, just for people listening who haven't got the benefit of having the Act in front of them or knowing the Act doesn't say anything, we're agreed, about emerging technologies, but it does say that the stakeholder ministers, and that's currently the Finance Minister Matthias Cormann and the Treasurer Joe Hockey, can make, quote, a direction that may set out the policies to be pursued by the CEFC in relation to technologies and to the allocation of investments between the various classes of clean energy technologies. That's Chapter 64. So does that suggest the ministers can tell the board not to invest in certain technologies, in this case wind or solar?
They can do so as long as what they're doing is not inconsistent with the Act and the purposes of the Act. Now, if there was evidence that the direction was to frustrate the purpose of the Act, then the corporation would have a basis for seeking to set aside the direction. So they have to
go back to that. Chapter 65 imposes limits on ministerial direction. It says the minister can't give directions that to not make a particular investment. It also prohibits directions that are inconsistent with the object of the Act, which, as you say, is to facilitate increased flows of finance into the clean energy sector.
Exactly.
So it's a bit contradictory. What do we draw from this? The Act's been poorly drafted?
No, not at all. I think what the Act is trying to achieve is very, very clear. What's not clear is what the government's trying to achieve. But we do have an opportunity to work that out, because this is a draft direction that's gone to the corporation. The corporation gets the opportunity to make submissions back to the government, and the government does have to table those in the parliament. So if the corporation is of the view that what they're being asked to do, as they were in February, they were asked to get this very, very high profit margin, which just wasn't reasonable when you're investing in these sorts of technologies, and the corporation did point out to the government there, look, what you're asking us to do is really something that we can't do and achieve the object of the Act. Well, the corporation does have the opportunity to look at it very carefully and come back and make a submission, which then the government does have to take into account. And of course, if there's evidence that the government's just trying to frustrate the purpose of the Act, then the corporation would have the opportunity to seek a legal remedy, the courts.
And this isn't the corporation being political. It's an independent statutory body. It's bound to work within its Act, doesn't it? It says it will continue to perform its investment functions in accordance with Part 6 of the Act by investing directly and indirectly in clean energy technologies. That's what it's told to do.
Absolutely. The Parliament brought it into existence for one purpose and one purpose only, and that was to get to use the monies that were given to it to lend to businesses so that there could be as much investment in clean energy technologies as possible.
So in the meantime, even though it's got this letter from the ministers instructing it, it is legally obliged to keep on investing in whatever it thinks is the best investment, including wind and solar, in your view?
Yes, it is, because the letter at the moment is only a draft direction and it has to go through all the processes. It doesn't take on the characteristic of law until all of those processes have been gone through.
One confusing thing, Stephen Kime, the Act does specifically rule out investing in some technologies like clean coal and nuclear when the Act was first written. That's stated there.
Yes.
If the government wants to stop the Clean Energy Finance Corporation investing in wind and rooftop solar, could it go back to the Parliament and change the Act?
Absolutely. I mean, it could have gone back to the Parliament and changed the Act to shut down the corporation as it wanted to from the beginning, but it couldn't get the numbers in the Parliament, or it wasn't game to do that.
Mm.
Now it's not clear whether it has the numbers or not, but anyway, this is a way to direct the way in which the corporation carries out its activities in the meantime while it thinks about whether it's got the numbers.
It's 17 to 8. We're speaking with Stephen Kime, SC. If the board has until the 24th of July to report back to the government, what happens if the board rejects the direction?
No, the government has the final say, provided the government doesn't act unlawfully. So the government, the ministers, do have to take into account what the board says. If the ministers are seen not to take into account what the board says, not to take it on the board, not to consider it, then they would be acting unlawfully. But ultimately, if the government does bring into existence a lawful mandate, then the board is required to do everything it can to comply with that mandate. So the mandate does have force of law eventually, provided that it itself is made lawfully and the courts don't set it aside for some reason.
All right. Stephen Kime, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Fran.
Helping us work through the Clean Energy Finance Corporation Act. Stephen Kime, FC, joining us from Brisbane.